Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. Sit down. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. We are out here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Be the center, say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, it amazes me that you do everything in love. Help me learn to love like you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204. And you can call in your prayer requests at that same number. Amen. Praise God. So at this time, I will play another selection.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Stop trusting.
Praise be to God. Faithful God, help me rest in the assurance of your direction. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
I can't complain, no, I can't complain, mama's taking it easy, papa's gone on to paradise, smiling down on me. So many people just trying to make ends meet, hoping and praying and free. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling, and I'm gonna give the Lord his day. Everything will be okay in the presence of his grace. A heated conversation, me and my baby, with sometimes debate. Life has but few guarantees. Sweet love and a good cup of coffee. Grown children don't seem to think life can slip away. No time to listen to what this old man has to say. Oh, you see the world. Lord, his day, and everything will be okay. In the presence of His grace. Oh, yeah. In the presence of His grace. In the presence of His grace. Oh, in the presence of His grace. Yeah. In the presence of His grace.
Amen. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Healing in Brokenness. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 149 and 4. And it says, He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Amen. Praise be to God. Are you feeling broken today? One of the main reasons the Lord allows us to go through great trials and seasons of brokenness is that He is liberating us of our self-will. He is revealing the hurt we cause ourselves and our unhealthy dependency on people and possessions that cannot last. Therefore, if your Savior is in the process of working in some area of your life, take heart. Jesus knows what it will take to meet that deep longing within you. He's identified what must be healed. If you're going to become what He has created you to be and reach your full, most meaningful, soul-satisfying potential, likewise, He may reveal that what He desires for you is different from what you're working for. This is not because He wants to deny your heart's desire. Rather, it is because He realized that what you're seeking won't make you happy. He wants to give you what truly will. So surrender yourself fully to your Heavenly Father and allow Him to heal you. Acknowledge that He knows what's best, because as He promises, if you delight yourself in Him, He will fulfill the most profound desires, hopes, and dreams within you. Lord Jesus, I submit to Your will and Your methods of accomplishing them. Thank You that I can always trust You. Amen, amen. And amen. And that is our daily devotion for this evening. I pray that this devotion was a blessing to you as it is to me. Again, you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Thank you. dying for you. David said, I have said the Lord always before me. I bless your name. Your name. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have said the Lord always before me.
Because
you on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name. The Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. I live for you.
Loving God, I don't know myself as well as I should, and I fall short of what I know is right and good. Please help me trust in your power in my battle with sin. Amen. Praise be to God.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to
heal. Him
down on my knees, I called on him. Hey,
call on
all
him.
Of a sudden I heard a voice singing deep down inside. Trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Pleading, the Lord will hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call him. And hear his voice. Speaking way deep down inside, he's saying, don't have to worry. But if my
God. Father, exchange my arrogance regarding others with your humble love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that's all you have to do is to call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. Father, please help me see the things I need to change in my life. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
From the Lord, Lord, which made heaven. thy foot to be moved, nor that he would see. He will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. And know the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore, evermore. My gentlemen, my sister, see.
Praise be to God. Dear God, thank you that I'll never have to journey through life alone. I know that you see me and will always be with me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, and while we're waiting, I will play another selection. Praise be to God.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Yeah.
way to go. At the fork of the road, living day by day, so life goes. Never say never, or come what may, for there's greater power. And on the right hand of the throne, he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope for the Sunday. Never say never, or come what may. There's a greater power, and on the right hand of the throne, he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. And now it is time for our lesson. At this time, my very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson for this evening on Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed, thank you. Praise God.
I'll open in prayer. Is anyone else on the line with us?
No.
Precious and Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggles of life, Lord God. We thank you for making a way out of no way. We thank you for allowing us to see another day, a Tuesday, but a day we've never seen before. Thank you, God. God bless everyone that's on the line, everyone that's coming on the line or thought about coming. Bless anyone that's even thought about Jesus tonight, thought about God tonight, thought about the Holy Spirit tonight. Bless them and keep them, Father God. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. You're just an almighty God. You do all things and you do all things well. So we thank you for life, health, and strength. And again, for being all who you are in our lives. We thank you for healings. We thank you for finances. We thank you for faithfulness. We thank you for companions. We even thank you for our enemies, Lord God. bless us and we will be blessed. Keep us and we shall be kept. All these blessings I ask, and a special blessing on Apostle Mother Wiggins. I pray that she's home and recovering and feeling stronger than ever. God bless her life and her heart and heal her, Father God. Make her recovery expedient. Bless her, let her know that we love her. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God.
I'm going to go to our new chapter. We're going to be talking from chapter, is it 35.
Mm-hmm. Christ's teachings concerning sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
Christ's teaching concerning sin. What do you think that meant, mean?
That he was in his ministry, he was teaching about all the different kinds of sins that we commit, knowing or unknowing.
Mm-hmm.
The simplest little thing that we do, we don't think that is sin, but it's a sin. And so he teaches us to warn us about, you know, the different types of sins that we could commit without knowing.
Mm-hmm. And we know there are no big sins and little sins.
No. Sin is sin.
All of them are transgressions against God. Some may be more heinous in our eyes, murder, abuse, beatings, that kind of thing. But they're all transgressions. Amen.
Amen.
A lie is no less a sin than murder. But people sometimes tell lies because they say they don't want to hurt someone. But they're hurting God because they're transgressing against him.
Mm-hmm.
So, when one surveys the teaching of our Lord concerning sin, at least two things stand out. One is the sheer number of references he made to the subject, both in his direct teaching as well as in his parables. In spite of this, we usually do not think of sin as one of Christ's principal emphases, yet it was. Second, his teaching on sin was very specific, as will be seen as the teaching is developed. In other words, on this subject of sin, Christ had a lot to say, and he said it in specific detail.
Amen.
Number one, some specific sins. What does that mean?
I guess some sins are greater than others. So he just...
Well, what does specific mean?
Specific, like a single sin?
Specific. Okay, our Lord used all the major words for sin. And in so doing, he specified a number of sins. So he elaborated on those specific sins. He spelled them out, as we're going to see. The following is a list of the individual sins he mentioned in his teaching. So specific sins, that means individualized, called out, made known. He specified, amen, what he was talking about.
Amen.
Sacrilege. Mark 11, 15-18. In cleansing the temple of the money changers, he condemned their sin of sacrilege, that is, violating the temple that was consecrated to God and showing irreverence toward hallowed things. Christ cleansed the temple at the beginning and end of his ministry. See also John 2. Verses 12 through 16. So what is it when the temple was consecrated to God?
It was holy. It was sacred. And
mm-hmm.
So that's why We're not supposed to, you know, sin against it.
Right. You're supposed to respect the sanctuary.
Exactly.
And the things that are in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's take a look at Mark 11:15-18 first.
Okay. I'm reading from the New Living. When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, "The scripture declares, my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." When the leading priests and teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him, but they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So, Jesus get angry there?
Yes, he was a bit angry because they were using his father's house as a marketplace, selling all kinds of things.
Right. Exchanging money and, you know, selling goods and all kinds of things to be sacrificed in the house.
Yes.
Amen.
Sir.
Well, it might have been in out of court, but it was still in the temple.
Amen.
Now let's take a look at John 2, verses 12 through 16.
Okay, John 5, 4. 3, 1, 2, verse 12 to 16. So after the wedding, he went to Capernaum for a few days with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifice. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some rope and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers, coins over the floor, and turned over their tables.
Amen.
Then,
Amen.
Going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Yes, he was mad then too.
Amen. This is not a place to sell things.
Nope.
And that's why a lot of pastors don't agree to, you know, selling raffles and, you know, different things within the church. They don't mind selling chicken dinners. But I guess that's not the same thing for whatever reason. But you're still selling stuff. And you might be down in the fellowship hall, but you're still selling things. But anyway. Mm-hmm. So we see that it was done in the beginning and at the end of his ministry.
Amen.
He cleansed the temple twice, according to this.
According to this,
Mm-hmm. And again, sacrilege is a violation of the temple that was consecrated to God, and showing no concern, no showing irreverence no thought, no, I don't even know, no love for or respect for.
Exactly.
The hollow things, the sacrificial things that are within the temple. B, hypocrisy, Matthew 23:1-36. And his scathing condemnation of the hypocrisy of the Sadducees, scribes, and Pharisees, our Lord pointed out several specific ways they showed that hypocrisy. One,
mm-hmm.
they did not practice what they preached, verses 1 through 4. Two, they sought to exalt themselves by encouraging the adulations of the people, verses 5 through 12. Three, they escaped performing their oaths by trying to make a difference between swearing by the temple and swearing by the goal of the temple, verses 16 through 22. Four, they scrupulously tithed but neglected to promote justice, verse 23. And finally, five, I believe they appeared to be righteous, but inwardly they were hypocrites, verse 25. Let's take a look at Matthew 23:1-36.
Amen.
Read half, and I'll read the other half.
Okay. I'll read the first half. Jesus warned, excuse me, Jesus warned against the religious leaders. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. And they wear robes with extra long tassels. And they love to sit at the head table at the banquet and in the seats of the honor in the synagogue. They love to see respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. And don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your spiritual father. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you have only one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus condemns the religious leaders. 13. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You won't go in yourselves and you don't let others enter either. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell. You yourselves are blind guides. What sorrow awaits you? For you say that it means nothing to swear by God's temple, but that it is binding to swear by the gold in the temple. Blind fools, which is more important, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred. And you say that to swear by the altar is not binding, but to swear by the gifts of the altar is binding? How blind! For which is more important, the gift on the altar or the altar that makes the gift sacred?
Oh,
when you swear by the altar, you are swearing by it and by everything on it. That's 20.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'll take it from, well, mine is 16 to 22. I'm sorry, I'll go back to 16.
Okay.
36, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're hopeless. What arrogant stupidity. You say if someone makes a promise with his fingers crossed, that's nothing. But if he swears with his hand on the Bible, that's serious. What ignorance. Does the leather on the Bible carry more weight than the skin on your hands? And what about this piece of trivia? If you shake hands on a promise, that's nothing. But if you raise your hand that God is your witness, that's serious? What ridiculous hair splitting. What difference does it make whether you shake hands or raise hands? A promise is a promise. What difference does it make if you make your promise inside or outside a house of worship? A promise is a promise. God is present, watching and holding you to account regardless. 23. You're hopeless. You religion scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You keep meticulous account books, tithing on every nickel and dime you get. But on the meat of God's law, things like fairness and compassion and commitment, the absolute basics, you carelessly take it or leave it. Careful bookkeeping is commendable, but the basics are required. Do you have any idea how silly you look writing a life story that's wrong from start to finish, nitpicking over commas and semicolons? You're hopeless. You religion scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You burnish the surface of your cups and bowls as they sparkle in the sun while the insides are maggoty with your greed and gluttony, stupid Pharisee. Scour the inside, and then the gleaming surface will mean something. You're hopeless, you religion scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You're like manicured grave plots, grass clipped and the flowers bright, but 6 feet down, it's all rotting bones and worm-eaten flesh.
Mm.
People look at you and think you're saints, but beneath the skin, you're a total fraud. You're hopeless, you religion scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You build granite tombs for your prophets and marble monuments for your saints. And you say that if you had lived in the days of your ancestor, no blood would have been on your hands. You protest too much. You're cut from the same cloth as those murderers and daily add to the death count. Snakes, reptilian snakes. Do you think you can worm your way out of this? Never have to pay the piper? It's on account of the people like you that I send prophets and wise guides and scholars generation after generation and generation after generation. You treat them like dirt, greeting them with lynch mobs, hounding them with abuse. You can't squirm out of this. Every drop of righteous blood ever spilled on this earth, beginning with the blood of that good man, Abel, right down to the blood of Zachariah, Barakiah's son, whom you murdered at his prayers, is on your head. All this, I'm telling you, is coming down on you, on your generation. And that is all the 36. Wow. I think he's a little bit upset.
Oh, yes. A little bit?
Yes.
He was holding back.
Oh, my. Yes.
Woo, he was holding back.
Doing one thing and saying one thing and doing another. Okay, we're going to break it down and say they did not practice what they preached, 1-4. They sought to exalt themselves by encouraging the adulations of the people, 5-12. They escaped performing their oaths by trying to make a difference between swearing by the temple and swearing by the goal of the temple, 16-22. They scrupulously tithed, but neglected to promote justice, verse 23. And finally, 5, outwardly they appeared to be righteous, but inwardly they were hypocrites, false men, reptilians. Where was that? Reptilian snake. Wow.
What kind of snake is a reptilian?
Reptilian. Snakes are reptiles. So he's calling them a reptilian snake. All right, let's Google it. Let's see what they say. You getting it or am I?
You are, because I don't know. Okay. Google.
Hold on. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Reptilian snake. Well, give me snake. That's what reptilian snake. Okay, give me Brazilian snake. Oh, God. Last time. Reptilian snake. Here we go. Okay. Reptilian snake. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Eel. The reptilian snake eel, and they give a scientific name, and the genus is Brachycephalus. Are all snakes reptiles? Let's see. Snake, lower classification. And they give the python, cobra, vipers, garter snake, grass snake, anaconda, king snake. Okay, why is the snake classified as a reptile? Taxonomically, all snakes fall under the reptilia class. This is a huge group that includes animals like lizards, turtles, crocodiles, and tarantulas. That's not tarantulas. Most reptiles are tetrapods, meaning they have four limbs, but snakes are a bit unique in that they descended from lizards and evolved not to need limbs.
Mm.
So basically they're just reptilians, and they give you the category. I'm going to say one more thing. Reptile definition characteristics. And it says, reptile, any member of the class Reptilia, the group of air-breathing vertebrates that have internal fertilization, amniotic development. So they have, they have eggs. They have internal fertilization. Amniotic development, that's the fluid. And epidermal scales covering part or all of their body. The major groups of living reptiles, turtles.
Yes.
What are testudines, Tutorator, order Rhynchocephalia, and Spinotadi, I don't know what that is. Lizards and snakes, order crocodiles, account for over 8,700 species. Birds, class Ives, share a common ancestor with crocodiles. Isn't that interesting? Birds are classified also as reptiles.
What? Well, I guess there's so many different kinds of birds.
Well, it says share a common ancestor, crocodiles, in subclass Archosauria, and are technically one lineage of reptiles, but they are treated separately. So birds are one lineage of reptiles, but they're treated as, because we don't see snakes flying, thank God.
No, thank
God. But they're considering birds to be a lineage of reptiles. Mm. All right, that's an interesting thing.
That's so enough.
Yeah, I know, right? We got to go back to this section, and I'm going to stop here and go to the homework. But
we're stopping at C?
I'm going to stop at after C.
Okay.
Covetousness. Luke 12:15. What does covetousness mean?
When you take something from somebody else that doesn't belong to you.
Not that you take it, but you want it.
But you, okay.
You don't have to take it. You know, you covet it. You wish you had it.
Mm.
All right. Sensing this was the root problem of the man who wanted the Lord to settle a dispute he had with his brother, the Lord warned the crowd against the sin of greed. So he had something
that he wanted.
Somebody else had something, and this man wanted it. Let's take a look at Luke 12:15.
Okay. 12:13, 14:15. Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. That's 15. That's what Jesus said. Yeah.
12:15.
Jesus said that the good life has nothing to do with being wealthy.
12:15, but mine goes from 12 to 16. So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. This is the prodigal son.
Right.
Country. Mm-hmm. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had.
Mm-hmm.
After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his field of to slop the pigs.
Yes.
He was so hungry, and he's Jewish now, you know, they don't be fooling around the hog.
Exactly.
He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop. But no one would give him any. Wow.
Mm-hmm. See, like, as long as you have, people going to stick with you until everything is finished. Once you are poor again, they don't even know you.
Well, this one left his home where his father apparently was wealthy, and he took his possessions, his half of his father's heritage or legacy. And he went to this place and
yes.
he spent all of his stuff, and then he became poor. He became broke. And he wasn't working. He's flashing his money, staying with ladies and, you know, just going off. Prostitutes and whatnot, drinking and having fun. Spent all his money. He had a good time. Then he had to go to this citizen and ask him to allow him to work, and he put him to work in the pigsty.
Yes.
He would have eaten the corn cobs of the pigs, but no one would give him any. He was so hungry. But anyway.
He
wanted his father's money. He wanted his inheritance. By right, he would have gotten it when his father expired. But he couldn't wait. He wanted it now.
Yes, because he felt that the father is living too long, and he wants to do what he got to do right now, not later.
Well, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. I don't know if he thought father was living too long, but he wanted his money now, his portion now.
Exactly.
And the father was so loving that he gave it to him.
Yes.
Allowed him to go and, you know, I don't think he thought he would do what he did, splurge it all and finally come back and want, you know. And then he accepted him back. Now, who are we talking about when we talk about the father accepting him back?
We're talking about Jesus.
About God the Father.
Yes, God accepted him back.
God the Father took him back, just like he takes us back when we do the wrong thing.
Exactly.
You know, You go out there, you think you're grown, and you take something that someone's giving you, and you want more. You know?
Exactly.
He lived like he had never lived before. You know, he wasn't doing all that with his dad. You know, he wasn't doing all that.
Exactly.
And he couldn't do no more, you know, drinking and partying. And no, he wasn't doing it like that. I don't know how long he stayed away, but when he came to himself, he said, even the servants in my father's house have food enough to eat. And here I am trying to beg a pig for the flock. Let me go home. Praise God. So, something else. Something. So we got to put a pin in it right here. And that was finished.
Yes.
I'm going to pick it up at D. Last for me. Next time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, were you able to complete your homework assignment, which was to read 2 Samuel verses 11 through 12?
You said verses 11 through 12. I thought it was
chapters 11
through 12.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Can you give me a synopsis of it?
Well, I will try.
Well, David that day he didn't go to the war, to the battlefield. He sent his army, and he stayed back behind. So when he was sleeping, and when he woke up, he went to the roof of his house where he was living. And then he saw across the way, he saw this beautiful woman named Bathsheba. And wanted to know who she was. So he sent his messengers over there to find out who she was, and they came back and told him that she was Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah. And so David invited her. He sent his messengers to get her, to bring her to his house, and then one thing led to another, and he had relations with her. And then she got pregnant. And so they sent for her husband. But, of course, you know, he was a true soldier. He didn't want to go home and sleep with his wife when his men out there in the, you know, tents and things. So he slept
on the battlefield. Yeah, fighting.
Right. Yes, they were fighting, so he didn't want to be living a you know, whining and dining with, you know, his wife, his men and the soldiers and them out there in the fields. So anyway, because Uriah was so, I mean, he was so true to his you know, fighting and stuff So he never did go home to the wife, even after David made him drunk and everything. He slept outside the palace with the rest of the guards. So then a messenger to Joab and told Joab to put Uriah in the front where the, you know, where
Joab
was the lead, so the commander of David's army. So David sent one of the messengers with a note to Joab, and Joab read the note where David told him to put Uriah in the front line to be killed. And that's what Joab did, and
he was the battle.
Yeah, in the battle. And then Uriah got too close to the wall, and that's where, you know, a lot of the Israelites and them were killed because, you know, the big wall. So the people on the wall was throwing things down at them because one woman had killed another soldier by throwing a heavy metal thing or something on him, and he died. So anyway, they were shooting and everything, and Uriah got killed. So Joab sent the messenger back to David to let him know that there was fierce fighting and whatnot, and Joab, the Hittite, was killed in battle. And so then he came back, and, you know, the soldier told him, don't get upset about what David says, is that he's, you know, upset because you got to make everything look good anyway. So then after that, then after David told Bathsheba that Uriah was killed in battle, and so she mourned for her period of time, and then David sent for her and had her move into the palace where she became one of his wives. And then she was given birth to the baby, and then after Nathan told David what was going to happen and that God would spare his life, but he would take the life of the child. So he took the life after 7 days. David was laid out on the ground, you know, praying and asking God to please spare the child's life. And he was fasting. He wasn't eating or drinking or anything. And the elders were trying to get him to eat something and whatnot, so he didn't. But when
he wasn't washing either, don't forget.
He didn't wash nothing. He just laid out. For those 7 days. So on the 7th day, God took his life. And then after that, then the elders and them were scared to tell David that the baby was, you know, had died and everything.
The servant
already knew. So what he did, he got up, he went and he bathed and he lotioned himself down, and he sat down and ate some food. So they asked, the elders and them asked him.
The servant. Your book says elders?
Yeah. My book says elders. It's probably servants or whatever.
No, it's both. Because one Bible says, mine says servants, so yours says elders. No problem.
Yeah. Because it was the elders and them that was trying to get David to come and eat. Well, I guess, you know, whatever, anyway. But so David said to them, I moaned for the child while he was still alive.
I think that now, is so profound. Yeah, go on. I love that book.
Yeah. He was mourning and begging God to spare the child's life. Mm-hmm. But because of his sin against God with Bathsheba, so God took the child on the 7th day. So after that, David showered, dressed, sat down, ate, and everything. He told them that he will see the child again, but he cannot bring the child back to him. And that was that. But I thought that it was just such a beautiful, you know, the way that he was explaining to them what had happened. You know, he said he did his mourning
right?
Yeah, mourning while the child was still alive.
So he thought that if he moaned and thing for the child, that God would still spare the child. No, God spared his life, but he took the child's life. And so after that, then God saw favor with him again, and he blessed him with another child from Bathsheba. And that was
Solomon. Right. Excellent. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I just want to highlight the part that I say I love so much. When King David might have mercy on me and the child, thinking that God might have mercy on him and the child, and the child would live. But now that the child is dead, he was telling his servant, why fast? I mean, there's nothing I can do. And said, in fact, I can go to him, but he can't come to me.
That is so beautiful. I mean, it was.
Isn't that a scene that you can just imagine with anyone who you say you really love, and you, once they're dead, you realize that I can go to them, but they can't come to me. They're dead. They're gone.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that is so profound. I love that part. So David went and comforted his wife.
Yes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And when he slept with her, she conceived a son who was named Solomon.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so God had a special love for David.
For David. Because
and sent word by Nathan to name his child Jedidiah.
Yes.
Jedidiah means God's beloved. For whatever reason, he named him Solomon. Though I don't know what happened with that. But anyway,
that's what I was Nathan, reading that too in here where it said Jedidiah.
Told him to name him Jedidiah, but they named him Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting, and like I said, you did it quite well. I thank you for doing that, and that just edifies us. You know, that gives us more information about what transpired with that situation. David, Bathsheba, God above everything, and Nathan the prophet. So beautiful story from 2 Kings chapters 11 through 12. Thank you for sharing that.
I highlighted it so that whenever we go back to that, I already, you know, like because I have it, I said I will never forget that why he moved the child was alive instead of out of it.
Right, which is what people do. They mourn once the child or whoever is deceased.
Yes.
While they're living, they're praying and hoping and, you know, they're not mourning. But this one was kind of a reverse. He mourned while the child was yet alive, fasted, watched, thought that, you know, the love that he had for God and that God had for him would bring mercy into the situation. But David had transgressed against God. He went and slept with another man's wife and then had the man killed. In the heat of battle, and just was wrong. He was just wrong.
I guess because see that's where the covenants comes in. Because the covenantness. That's where he got Uriah's wife because
he wanted. Mm-hmm. He wanted somebody else's wife.
That's why they
exactly. And he had her. He got her. He got Bathsheba. You know?
And she became one of
what he won.
But then he had to kill her husband in order to get her.
Right. Well, to save her reputation. I don't know. Because again, people still talk, you know, whispered that's the one that, you know, David had her husband killed.
You know they were making mock of her. But she didn't care.
Not only the wives, but the whole kingdom.
The whole, yes.
Would be privy to what transpired. And so, like I said, David tried to get the husband to sleep with the wife and therefore could have claimed that he was the father of the child. That still goes on today. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That's the people sleep with other people, get pregnant, and that the one that impregnated them is not their husband. And they raise these children with the husband under that lie, you know, unless you take a DNA test. It's not an ancient thing. It still happens.
It still happens.
Yes.
You know how many men are now today? They're a little more hip and wise to the women, so they know they're sure if that child is theirs or not, because they're not going to not take care of another man's child.
Some of them know that the woman that they love is not pure. And sits around and all of this and that. But they care for the woman so much and the child so much that they say, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would want to be the father, but I love her and I love the child. I've bonded with the child, so I don't want to sever that, you know. People look at them like, are you a fool?
Stupid. Why would you want to stay with a woman that the child is not even yours? Because you love the person. So if you love the person, then you got to love my child.
That's love.
Yes.
That's a love that everybody cannot experience.
Exactly.
They can't fathom that. They were like, what? Oh, no, I'm out of here. But anyway, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Yeah,
love
appreciate you.
Love you too. Thank you. I was
and just getting you for a beautiful lesson tonight and for the homework. I mean, like, I really enjoyed explaining that one. explained it in a big way, but
you did it in a big way. It was wonderful. Did a great job. Anyone listening to it would have got the understanding of what it was you were conveying, and you did well. Thank you. I just want to say that I was just coming in from picking up someone at the hospital, and we had to pick him up in Manhattan. And then took them to Regal Park in Queens. So by the time I got home and tried to, you know, freshen up and all of that kind of stuff, put something in the oven, you know, warm something up, that's why I got them so late. So
that's okay. I give 15-minute grace period.
Yes, I understand. I didn't want to miss it.
7:15 is fine. Yeah,
I didn't want to miss it, but I just wanted to explain why I was
because it was wonderful.
Oh, so God be all the glory,
especially his homework. I mean, I read them two chapters over and over, and I was like, wait a minute,
really?
I know that because I mean, like, when something is good and you understand why the person did what they did, you know, you want to. Over and over, and each time you read, a different understanding.
God bless you. God bless you.
So thank you for that. I'm sorry, missed it.
Well, I did give her the assignment verbally. I don't know if she got to do it, but hopefully she'll read it and get an understanding of it. God willing, I'll be with you all tomorrow.
And
we'll continue. We'll continue with what we have to do. Would you take us out in prayer if you're ready, if all hearts and minds are clear?
Father God, we come again as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful day. Thank you for all who participated in this lesson tonight. Thank you for our speaker, Lord God. Bless her, cover her with your anointed spiritual
guidance,
Lord God. Thank you for allowing her to be here tonight to give us this lesson. I pray that everyone that is on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, listening to this program tonight, that they got something out of this story that of David and Bathsheba and the New Testament of sin, the different things that Jesus is preaching on, Lord God. Thank you for that. Bless each and every one of us. Guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Touch our hearts, our minds, our souls, and heal us in the way where we need to be healed. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. Thank you for loving on sinners like us and just dying. And thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins, that we may one day be one of your servants, that you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, Lord God. Help us, those who need to hear the word of God, Lord God. Increase our knowledge, increase our salvation, increase everything that we need to help us guide your people into a good Bible-based church, Lord God. Help us do everything that you need us to do, Lord God. And we ask all these blessings. Bless Apostle Mother Wiggins. Bless our first lady. Bless our pastor. And bless anyone that needs a blessing, Lord God. Heal those who need a healing, Lord God. Go down by the hospitals and nursing homes and juvenile halls and prison cells, Lord God. Somebody, Lord God, is calling upon your name, Lord God. Somebody needs your help right now, Lord God. Someone needs your loving arms to wrap around them, Lord God, and let them know everything's going to be all right. All they have to do, Lord God, is accept your son, Jesus Christ. And we ask these blessings in the mighty name of your son. We pray. Amen. To God be the glory.
Thank you for that wonderful prayer on our behalf.
Amen.
Love you much.
Love you
and kisses. Stay safe.
Enjoy your dinner.
Thank you. You too. You cooked already?
Oh, yes. I had, I have some salmon with some cabbage and greens. I have to give up my starchy stuff.
Okay, well, don't forget the potatoes, though, you can have.
Yeah, I'm tired of eating potatoes.
I know.
I try to eat them. I try to eat them every 2 days or every 3 days. I'll just go with salads and vegetables for now. Until
don't forget the sweet potatoes, too. You can have sweet potatoes, too.
You know, I never think about the sweet potatoes until I get back home. And I'm right there in the market.
That would be nice with your cabbage. But anyway, it sounds delicious.
This week, though.
It sounds delicious.
Yes.
Love you. Have a blessed night, okay?
Okay, you too. And on that note.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. We are out.
Amen.